Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I'm your host, Monique Davis-Dotson. I have a very special guest with me today. His name is Greg Bingley. He is a great supporter of Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce. And I wanted to reach out to someone who listens to the podcast, who reads the blogs, and get his thoughts about some of the things that many of us have endured, one being divorce, being a parent, experiencing this COVID-19 pandemic, and because he's very positive, God-fearing, and I think all of us may, you know, need a little bit of that as we, you know, are going through these challenging times right now. So I want to thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Introduce yourself to the listeners and tell us, where are you from?
Okay. My name is Greg Bingley. I'm originally from The Mark, Texas. Graduated, born and raised, graduated high school there. Mm-hmm. I lived my first 20-something years there, 21, 22 years there, and ended up moving to the Clear Lake area. Lived in this area ever since.
Yeah.
Went through school, college, high school, and went to college for a few years. It's kind of trying to work my way around and trying to find out exactly what I wanted to do. So I kind of got,
you know, as you go through that transition, high school, college, and you're like, okay, I'm trying to find myself. Yeah. What piqued your interest?
To be honest with you, I was so out there kind of, you know, as far as not understanding the full gravity of everything, mm-hmm. as far as life. So I really was kind of drifting. Mm-hmm. And I thank God that I had solid parents, solid background. So I just kind of worked little jobs here and there, and then went to school, and really didn't find myself until I got interested in electronics and computers. Mm-hmm. And finally, I went to tech school, mm-hmm. Learned a trade there, and started building computers.
Okay.
Yeah. So what I did was I built computers from scratch. Piece by piece.
Really?
And I did that for a few years, and that's my background, and that was my interest. So I had my little side business. I would build computers for folks, work on computers, but did everything piece by piece, and bought a lot of that because, you know, you build stuff piece by piece, and you turn that power button on and watch it come on and work. It gives me thrills. I was overjoyed to see something actually work that didn't work before.
Yeah,
so anyway, I did that for a number of years, and got a lot of business doing it. Mm-hmm. So I started getting into that, and started looking to get into the computer field as far as jobs and stuff. So I started working at different little computer companies, mm-hmm. worked my way up, and then that's when I officially moved on to the NASA area.
Started working for NASA, at NASA.
Mm-hmm. So I've been at NASA for 29 years, but in this area I'm at now, on site, for 22 years. You know, love my job. I, you know, got promoted, moved up, and eventually I went to College of Biblical Studies.
Okay.
And I went there for a few years and got my teacher to teach. So I did all of this while I was working at NASA. And I did that for a few years and found interest in just getting my life together, period. You know, believing in God, trusting in God on every situation I'm involved in. And it started off as a scholarship that I had from my church that I was attending. Mm-hmm. And it was just a Bible study, mm-hmm. certificate for one semester. Mm-hmm. I went there for one semester and I ended up liking it. I ended up, almost 4 years. At the time of my life, what I was going through, I kind of used that to kind of encourage me and strengthen me in some areas that I was weak in, and it worked wonders in my life.
Yeah, the word will change your life. And I know, like, when I was going through my divorce, and I just consumed myself in the word from Bible study as well, because it's something about the Lord as that. No matter when you up or when you're down, but especially when you're down and you need, foundation and word, he will pull you out of any and everything, you know. And the relationship, when you know you experience different challenges, it's like you understand, not that the feeling of going through suffering, great, But what you get out of the suffering,
yeah,
everything, when you come into relationship with God.
Right. That's, high five you, hallelujah.
High five you, high five you.
Do it all, because that's exactly the way I feel about it. And yeah. I stand on that. And yeah. You know, anything that I go through, I'll always stand on that.
So, you know, I love to get a lot of different life experiences and life perspectives, because I know that we are here to help and serve right. one another, you know. And I do know that you went through a divorce.
Right.
Tell me, what did you learn about yourself, you know, going through that experience? And what can you, or shall I say, how can you encourage someone who may be walking through that valley or traveling that journey right. currently? You know, because divorce is not easy, but sometimes it's necessary. You know, right. that's what I tell people. Sometimes it's necessary. Right. Why did it become necessary for you? So let's start there.
I don't think I would have found out who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And my weaknesses, strengths, mm-hmm. or whatever. I don't think I ever would have found out all of that out if I hadn't gone through that. When I got divorced, I tried to look for the wrongs in her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God, show me what I can go tell
hey, Lord,
her.
Lord, you need to fix her, Lord, because I'm fine, Jesus. Something wrong with this woman you gave me.
I'm serious. I sat there for a while, and I know we'll get into it later, but that's where I started my journey on exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do is I would go walk and just try to figure it out, you know, what happened to you? You know, why is she like this? Well, you know, God, tell me something that I can go tell her.
Yeah.
And man, it wasn't long before God beat me up.
Yeah.
Told me you.
Yeah.
Kept pointing back at me.
Yeah.
Told me my weaknesses and things that I could change. And, and you know, the strange thing is that when God was telling me this, I kept thinking it meant, okay, I can get myself together and, you know, we'll get back together. It's strange because there was no way of getting, you know, there was no way of, at the time, reconciling.
And why not? Why couldn't you guys... reached a place of reconciliation.
We tried.
Okay.
We tried a couple of times, actually, mm-hmm. Separating. We tried, but God just kept telling me, it's on you. Let's talk, just like that. So we had this discussion many a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I fought with it for a while because I'm like, okay, you're still not showing me how I can get this back.
Yeah.
And I got to, it just came to a point where I came to the conclusion that it was meant to be. When I was able to accept that, then I started seeing me coming out of that that hurt I was in. When I accepted that, you know, God's still going to be with me no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with the whole marriage tit for tat thing.
Yeah, tit for tat.
Tit for tat, yo.
Yeah.
We were professional.
So both of you were very strong-willed individuals.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, you do this, I do that.
So we went through that whole thing, and you know, I remember my counselor, man, I thought y'all had something serious going on. Meaning he thought it was financial, he thought it was sexual adultery, all that kind of stuff. Because he said most of the people that come to me had those issues.
You guys didn't have those issues.
Not at all. And that's when he kind of like, man, I thought this was going to be hard. This should be easy.
Yeah.
But we were both kind of like that, and got to the point where we kind of just shut off.
So you shut down. So,
oh yeah, yeah.
So the thing that was brought to light through that experience for you, between you and God, was that he was showing you that you can't shut down in relationships because, you know, that was your place of comfort.
Yeah, and, that was my place of comfort, because here's the deal is I don't think I've ever had that kind of marriage communication skills.
Mm-hmm.
And she did.
Okay.
So when I felt that it wasn't going my way,
mm-hmm.
okay, well, I'll shut down. You know, I couldn't go back.
And I would say, you know what? Most men do that. They don't have the communication skills or tools or resources. And then when the woman is trying to tell him what to do to be better, it's like, you're not my mama. You know, like I'm the head of house. So there goes the conflict there. You know, there we're button heads because he's trying to be a helpmate and you're feeling, you know, like somebody's child, you know? And it goes both ways because, you know, as a woman and you're trying to communicate and your partner isn't getting it, it can seem a little bit of a parental role that you're trying to scold somebody. So it needs to be fair communication on both sides. And I only speak from experience.
and that's true though, because you're exactly right. That's basically what it was. So it caused me, I allowed it to let me shut down. And I'm just like, okay, now she's trying to be my mama.
I'm
a teacher or whatever. So that went on for a while and we talked about it, went through counseling or whatever. And it works for a while when you make your marriage work. Mm-hmm. Went to marriage retreats. You know, she had her individual counseling, I had my individual counseling. But I think we had gotten too far out there. And
do you think because of the emotion and the feeling tied to it, it was like it was too difficult to move forward? You know, like I remember what you said. Right. And I can't let that go.
Right.
Do you think played a part of it? You know, because you're saying like this appeared to be fixable, maybe, you know, but then in the back of your mind, have you really let those things go in order to move forward?
No, and I think that's a big part of it because so when that stuff comes back up, you know, you're not moving forward. You're still back here.
Well, let me ask you this question because I've found this with, you know, communicating with many people. Were those signs now, you know, how we say hindsight is everything. Could you see some of those issues in the, you know, the courtship, the dating, before the I do's came?
No. I didn't because that was part of the problem. We met and I want to say 7-8 months we got married.
Okay. So it was really fast.
Well, it was really fast. And I had been single for maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
And that was another issue because I think I had gotten set in my ways. My pastor friend of mine would tell me, he said, don't stay by yourself too long because you don't want to get set in your ways.
Oh, wow.
And I remember my dad told me that years ago.
Really?
Yeah, he told me that years ago. I think it was more of me being, you know, not in a relationship for a number of years.
So you were setting your ways?
I think so. I think well, I was.
So that was true.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was. And I tried to, so here's another thing. Okay. She was out of state. Mm-hmm. We dated long distance.
Okay.
And within 6, maybe 7 months, I moved her and 3 kids.
Oh, wow.
Here.
Okay.
So blended family. And I didn't understand that at first.
Yeah.
But within a year, it wasn't anything blended about it. It was just family.
Family, okay.
They were my son and my two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And early on, it was a little difficult. I'll be honest. It was a little difficult. And I know even a pastor friend of mine told me, said, and I counsel a lot of blended families. But he was saying, you know, I'm not saying that yours won't work, but, you know, he was just kind of telling me what he experienced.
He was giving you fair warning that, you know, it's going to take work.
Right.
You know, and your situation was really different because you're dating.
Yeah.
Long distance dating. And then you move, not just her, the girlfriend.
Yep.
It's full blast family.
Yep. Yep.
Had to be challenges in itself. Yep. But of course, optimistic people, God loving, God fearing people, like, Lord, you'll be with us. We'll work it out.
And that's what it was. But that, I didn't realize it at the time, but that played a big part in it too.
Yeah.
And she missed home. God showed me, like I said, when we divorced, God showed me that. You know, I should have made it as comfortable as possible with her coming into the unit because it was totally different. No family or nothing.
Yeah.
And God showed me that. And so much he showed me that I should have done better and I had opportunities. So that played a big part in it. But like I said, it was within a year, maybe 6-7 months that I no longer looked at them as step. You know, there was no step to add, nothing else to add.
Right.
And even today, I love them to death. So that was a huge part, because once again, I was by myself, maybe 5 years or whatever, and then meet somebody. And so, no, I did not. She probably didn't see some things in me, and I didn't see some things in her.
That makes sense. That makes sense now. Okay.
Yeah, because it's all new, and we, you know, in love, and, you know,
and do all of that thing. That pre-honeymoon phase.
There you go. Yep.
So, everything's so great. Oh, hey, right. How wonderful. She
That's what it is. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Walked on water.
Yeah.
So.
How is your relationship with her now?
Oh, we're friends.
You're good friends.
We're friends. Yeah, we're friends, and we talk periodically. But 4 years ago, we forgave each other.
Forgiveness is everything.
Yeah, we forgave each other, and she showed me where she was wrong, and I told her no. I can't. You know, I got to tell you where I was wrong.
Yeah.
And what God showed me, and I think it was last year. Her and the kids came here.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we forgave each other, and we understood where we could have done things better, and you know. For me, I was already, I had grown past a lot of it.
Yeah.
As far as, even if she wouldn't have forgiven me, I knew where I was, and that I knew God had forgiven me.
Exactly.
For her in 2016, that was the first time that, you know, we reconciled basically and talked about it, and she just cried.
Yeah.
And that was her point. Yeah. My point it was a few years prior to that.
Yeah.
I just accepted things the way they were and talked to God, and God showed me and moved me on and gave me and that. So it still was encouraging to hear her say that.
Yeah.
She forgives me as well. Yeah. So I think a lot
of that. Greg, I want to say this really quickly. That right there is a gift, where people can find reconciliation and forgive one another, because that's a powerful thing, you know?
Yeah.
You guys are able to do that. It's so many people carry all of that pain and anger and frustration for years and years at a time.
Right.
And to be able to say, you have to get to a place to be, you know, to forgive, not just through divorce, but just family issues.
Yeah.
You know, when we spoke about COVID and everything that's going on right now, this is not the time to be holding on to anything, you know. Listeners, if you are having some challenges, and I know it's not going to be easy, you know, in the beginning it's not easy, and it is true that time does heal. As you just heard Greg say, he was at one place in his own forgiveness, and his ex needed to be at her place several years ago. And it's okay, but you have to find that place in your heart that you're no longer going to carry that pain year after year, day after day, minute after minute. There's no productivity. There's no peace.
None.
And not forgiving people. You know, I had to forgive a lot of people, you know, and sometimes people, you know, hurt you that they may not know, or it could be intentional or, you know, not intentional, but you have the power to decide if you're going to let that continue to be heavy burden on your heart.
Yeah.
I think that's just too much power to give folks when you don't forgive them.
So, you know, and it got to a point where, you know, I did my whole crime thing, and it's self-explainable. I mean, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit that. And
I love it. That's why I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to be real and raw. Right. Me can cry too. And it's they have emotions too.
Yeah.
And sometimes the weight of the world is that, you know, men are strong and you're not supposed to cry. You're not supposed to show any emotion.
Right. Holding it in was making it worse.
Yes. Yeah.
So I remember crying one night and sitting in a dark house and having that conversation with God. And I was like, God, if we're going to go through this, and you're going to have to be with me, man. I mean, and that's just the way I talk. I'm like, I can't go through this by myself. You're going to have to be with me.
Amen.
And I'll go through it, but this stuff hurts.
Exactly.
And man, I felt so relieved when I said that. And I felt God's presence, you know, while I was saying it. And, you know, God basically told me.
Did you feel like it was a surrender to God? Because, you know, in our own ways, we try to handle it, micromanage, and help God. I used to want to help God, like, right. Like, okay, all right, yeah. Lord, you know, I was a type A, so I want to help him.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Like, okay, I'm praying this.
Yeah.
Your will, but really, can you do it my way?
Yeah. My way. That's the way
and
it works.
That's not total surrender. I don't care how faithful or how many scriptures you may know or how often you go to church. It's not about the other person. This now becomes between you and God. And that's what I learned through my divorce. Like, so when you're saying, listen, God, I'm going to listen to you, right? That's what I hear you saying. You're going to have to be with me. So when you said you're going to have to be with me, that was like, I'm surrendering it.
It was, because I was basically saying, okay, I'm not going to concoct all this stuff in my head about how it should be and how I want it to be, this and that. I'm surrendering to you. Let me know which way we're going.
That's power.
And because when you don't have a choice in the matter,
amen.
Then what else you gonna do?
Amen.
I didn't have nothing else to do but follow God. So can't nobody tell me about how God doesn't work. Tell me how God doesn't work or doesn't believe in this or believe that. I know what God got me through.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trusting, and that's what I stick with. But so when he did that, it was painful in the beginning, but I kept going and kept relying on God, and that's when I started walking a lot and jogging a lot. Mm-hmm. And what it was part of my exercise, but it was also part of my devotion. Been doing that, and it's like I call it a 2-for-1. You know, I'm getting my exercise plus I'm getting my devotion in.
Amen.
And you know, I begin to talk to God when I walk and jog and stuff like that, and I get enriched and give me wisdom here and wisdom there, and I love it. And I remember praying to God one day and saying, God, I don't ever want to not be able to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Like a day like today is so beautiful outside. You know, it's like a day like that. I'm getting so much out of that.
Yeah,
and think about so many things that I need to correct in my life. Because what God was doing during that whole period was He kept coming back to me,
mm-hmm.
kept showing me what I can correct in my life and what I needed to change in my life. Mm-hmm. It was never about what the other person did,
amen.
Or any of that. It was about what you can.
As you realized, okay, divorce was not easy, but it became necessary. And the necessary part was that the relationship is too much conflict.
Right.
And even though you guys tried, but what was the most necessary, and this is why I added this, you know, little tagline on when I talk to people, it's necessary for us to be still enough so we learn what true surrender means. And when you can allow God to come into your heart, because it teaches you to forgive. It teaches you to, you know, pull the plank out of your own effort. It teaches you to trust Him like never before. And what we learn, we now can encourage and give to others.
Right.
You know, and you got to go through certain experiences, even though it's not what we would have scripted for our lives.
Right.
Trusting God and entrusting God with everything.
Yeah. That's the key.
That's why it becomes necessary.
Yep. That's the key. And however difficult it is, if you really trust God, mm-hmm. just allow Him to take you through. And when I begin to see that peace, I'm like, okay, I got it now. Basically, when He showed me that right before I got over this whole thing, when He showed me that, it was basically telling me, I told you, I got you.
Yeah.
Just come on. It don't look the way you want it to look.
Yeah.
But it looks the way it needs to.
You spoke about peace. And that was one of the things I was praying for throughout my marriage and, you know, going through the divorce. And I was like, Lord, I just need peace.
Right.
And even though I was praying and, you know, we went to counseling for a short period, you know, you know, sometimes men don't like counseling. But did you say, you got your finger up?
No.
But I just kept asking God for peace, and I would pray and I would fast and I would go to my pastor and I would go, you know, and I would do all these things thinking, okay, it's going to work out. Now it's going to work out. And what I learned is that what I was asking God for was for peace.
Right.
In my head, I thought that A needed to go with B and one needed to go with two. And that necessarily was not the case.
Right.
And peace needed to look different than what I thought it was supposed to look like. Peace was trusting God and letting Him in and not trying to be in control.
Right.
So when I realized that, I was like, okay, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm doing all these things that I think I'm supposed to be in this marriage, but God is showing me something else, because being in a marriage should not have confusion and chaos and conflict, because that's not of God.
Right. I agree.
Now you're going to go through some things, you know, to help you grow,
right.
You know, but you do that in unity. when you are not,
right,
that's not yeah. that's not what he wants from us.
Yeah.
And then I started to learn what peace is supposed to look like. And that was right. trusting God no matter what happened.
No matter what.
With yeah. him or without, you know, my spouse right. or what have you. What was important? I kept praying for peace and family.
Yeah.
And my ex and I get along very well, and we're a family, and we share holidays together. And communicate, you know, we're not together, right. but we're still right. a family.
Right.
Yeah. So I really end up getting what I ask God
yeah.
for.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Really look at it like that. Yeah.
When that's how I look at it.
Right. I learned from that too. Even when they came down last year, you know, it was a beautiful thing. You know, she came down. She also came down when my daughter had the baby,
mm-hmm.
and in 2017, yeah. and. I'm okay with that. You know, yeah. it's a beautiful thing. You know, I've got peace
yeah.
in another situation. I got peace in my life right now. And, you know, things don't look the way you always want them to look. God is saying there's going to be peace in it. There's going to be peace.
You know, we are going through a pandemic. People have lost their jobs. Some people have lost homes.
Right.
And, you know, even more tragically, they've lost loved ones.
Yeah.
And this is just the added on of our, right. you know, what we go through, our different struggles. But now, you know, some people are facing divorce.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
and if we can do anything to enlighten any of you listeners and to right. encourage you, is that just keep on yeah. on and trust yeah. God.
I would say that too. And also, When I raised my finger and said, but when you talked about counseling,
yeah,
I was the one that was against it.
Yeah.
And my thing was, you know, I don't want nobody all in my business.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that. You know, so.
I've heard that.
So I hear most men say that.
Yeah, most and definitely.
That's a crazy thing to say. And I would just say for any man, men that are listening, that go get the counseling.
Yeah.
And it's nothing wrong with trying to strengthen your marriage. Nothing wrong with trying to get yourself healthy, get yourself better. Because what happens is people are so against counseling
mm-hmm.
themselves
mm-hmm.
that when they break, they come out of a relationship, they go right into another one.
Oh my God.
And nothing's healed.
Yeah.
Nothing's fixed. So you're bringing that whole baggage into something new. And it's going to be new to first.
Thinking three, it's going to turn out, thinking you in a brand new relationship, yeah. but you bringing in the old stuff.
Bringing in the old.
New. You just got yeah. a new name.
Yeah.
You know,
that's it.
Same situation,
yeah.
just different. But you know what? I also wanted to say to you about, you know, I just spoke about all the things that we are enduring, all of the things that we are, you know, going through right now, be it a pandemic, be it divorce, be it, you know, just family challenges, you know, career. Counseling is so important because it is a part of our mental and emotional stability yeah. and health.
Right.
And it is good to be able to discuss things with people. And, right. and I'm glad that you said that, because we're not just talking about, you know, going to counseling because of, you know, you need marital counseling.
Right.
Go to counseling if you feel like you have a burden and you need someone to communicate with to yeah. release that and to help you. Go and speak to somebody. Is that what I hear you yeah. say, Greg?
Yeah, it's exactly what I'm saying. And I would just go, you know, once a year, whenever, but go, because it's only going to strengthen you, and you're only going to grow from it. It's going to grow your marriage or whatever. I would just encourage them. When I talk to people, I will say, you know, get to counseling. I also do marriage retreats. It's something like that. Always add something to
yeah.
yearly, add something to your marriage and to your relationship or whatever. But I want it. Think that everything's okay when you ain't talking and y'all separate this and that in separate ways. That ain't healthy. And for me, it's just a matter of, you know, giving yourself up and yeah. just, you know.
And do you think, I like that, what you said. Now, sometimes, yeah, you know, when you're yeah. married and you need your space and you need time to cool off, you know,
yeah.
I encourage yeah. you to do that, because sometimes right. you don't want to say the wrong things based on, right. you know, whatever that situation may be. But if you find yourself like that's your go-to every time you come into conflict, you
yeah.
know, that you have to separate or you have to shut down, as you right. said before, that is not healthy.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about physical health, but your right. mental and your emotional health is just as important. And
yeah.
and sometimes you need like a trainer to get your body in
right.
shape.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need somebody who can help you train those emotions and those feelings that you suppress as well.
Right. Well, and one thing too, I had I'll say two sets of friends. I had a set of friends that, and I say friends, but you know, I had a set of associates that, you know, man, get out the house, man. Let's go party. Let's go do this. And I had some that wanted to say, man, I'm praying for you. They'll call me on the phone. Or if I see someone in the parking lot, hey, man, let's pray.
Yes.
So I had that, you know, it was a choice, but it was easy for me.
Yeah.
To decide which one I wanted to go with, because I knew that other side, I knew where that would lead.
And that's so good. Oh, Greg, you're getting some good stuff. I'm getting excited. Because you are so right. Because you have to know, we all have our friends. Right. We can identify which set or which group is right. Yeah. Know that. But when you're going through something, you need to try to gravitate to the people who are the friends who are healing.
Right.
Not the ones who are going to hurt that situation. Yeah. Because it's going to cause you to hurt your partner more.
Yep.
We know the difference.
Yep.
You know? So and you decide, you get to choose. That doesn't mean that, hey, every now and then you don't need to go out and have a drink or, you know, de-stress with the boys, watch a game or something.
Nothing wrong.
If you find that's your go-to every single time, that's a problem.
Yeah, and I agree. So I don't have no problem doing just what you said. All of that, that's fine, let's go do this. But when you got people encouraging it, man, you got the house by yourself, man. I'll be having all kind of women over and this and that. And I'm like, man, you serious? We ain't 20 no more.
Right.
And when you got that, and I'm like, man, no, God led me to the right people and put the right people in my path. Yeah. And like I say, when it was very helpful to me at the time, because that's what I needed. Yeah. And I'll never forget those. And anything they ever need from me, they pray out whatever I want. And I am not going to lead you nowhere else. I'm going to lead you right to God, and I'm going to lead you right to, hopefully, you know, strengthen your marriage or help your marriage or whatever. But you don't have to worry about me leading you nowhere else but that.
And I love that. And we all need that. I'm hoping that someone can take something from this interview, be it whatever challenge. You know, this conversation is just not directed towards divorce. It's just about life, period.
Right. In general,
In general, and as we go through these different challenges, right? And we're looking for a fresh new start in 2021. Right. I know we said the same thing in 2020. Yep. Oh, it's not a new, but it is a new year. And and even in 2020, you know, I want to say this: there are some things that if we weren't being still, that many of us would have missed. Being with our family and our loved ones, appreciating life a little bit more when somebody has unfortunately lost their own.
Right.
And so there's pain, but then there's also purpose.
Right.
And there's also peace. And when you understand everything at that appointed time, you take everything and you're able to give God praise. Now you're on this cycling journey. So tell me a little bit about this, right? You got your emotional is in shape.
Right.
So now you're on to cycling.
Well, I've been getting into cycling probably for about 2 years now. I've been saying I was going to buy a bicycle and try to get into it. And I never did it. Yeah, so I was down in Galveston one day, and I'm like, you know what? Man, I want to ride down the seawall.
Mm.
And I went to look for bikes that day. And I think the next day I went out there on the seawall. It was just something I've been wanting to do, and I finally did it. And when I rode down that seawall for 20 miles, I'm like, I don't know, this probably wasn't a good idea. but I did it because I hadn't rode a bike. And man, I think the last time I rode a bike was probably 25 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just jumped out there and did 20 miles.
Wow.
And when I was riding, I just, once again, having a good conversation with God and stuff about some things. And it was just so peaceful.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I want to keep this up. So I just started. Been doing it since October, I think the first week in October.
Yeah.
And it's just once again, it's another thing that I have with, you know, exercising, you know, that devotion time with God, and enjoy it. I love it. So that's how I got into that. And I've always been active and doing something, but this is a whole different level. Eventually I want to probably get into a club or something like that.
Oh, that'll be great. And, well, what I like that you said, and I want to be able to continue to encourage someone.
Right.
Greg said that I finally decided to do it, and I just did it. And I go back to what were you able to, and this is a question for the listeners, okay? What were you able to learn about yourself during this pandemic in the time of being still and no longer procrastinating and saying and doing something that Greg just said? I want y'all to take this with you. He said that I went and I bought a bike that day and I rode. I just did it. And we need to get into the mindset of that when you have something in your heart, right, desire, go out and do it. Life is short. Life is precious. We don't know the day nor the hour.
Yep.
So go out and do it.
Yep.
And that's kind of what I want to leave my listeners with. And I'm really excited for you. And I look forward to you joining, you know, many races to come. Okay. Many, many races. And I thank you for your time. I thank you for your wisdom. You spoke about just being a prayer partner. Let's go ahead and end with prayer, if you don't mind.
That's fine.
It's on you.
Okay. Gracious Father, we thank you so much, Father, for this day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, your love and kindness, Father. We thank you so much for this opportunity, Father God, that you've given us, Lord, that it would not only help us, Father, but any listeners out there right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this time that we have, still time that we have right now, Father God, and in spite of the things that are going on with the COVID pandemic, Father, we just pray that you just show us things that need to be shown in our lives, strengthen us where we're weak, Father God, and let us be a blessing to those who deserve to be. And we pray right now for the people who are in the hospital right now, Father God, who's dealing with the COVID pandemic, God. We pray that you just strengthen them right now, Father God. Give their families hope, understanding, comfort, and anything that they may need, Father God. We pray, Lord, that the vaccines that are being distributed right now, Father God, I pray right now that it's those who aren't sick or who are in bed right now, Father God, struggling with this disease, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we lift them up to you, Father God. We lift these families up in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Greg, for a great interview. Thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you for sharing the lessons you learned. I pray to God that it helped someone who may be going through their own life, love, marriage, divorce journey to be encouraged, most importantly, to try to get counseling, as well as listening to the voice within, listening to, you know, being still enough to hear God and allowing him to direct you in whatever way brings you peace, you know, whatever brings the situation to having peace in it for both parties, and understanding that time does heal. The things that you can do to help others heal once you heal, and understanding this, that peace doesn't always look the way our mind wants to put those pieces to the puzzle together. Peace is learning how to surrender, learning how to trust, learning to believe in God's plan no matter what, and learning to accept whatever occurs, because we know this one thing about God. He comes to give us peace, as well as he does everything for our good and his glory. When you understand that, when you really, really understand that, you'll have peace. So try to do everything you can to make your marriages, your relationships work, anything that you possibly can. But most importantly, make sure that you get yourself aligned and in order, and understanding God's will and purpose and plan for your life, and trusting him throughout that entire process. And just like Greg, even though the marriage didn't turn out the way he expected or wanted, he was able to learn so many valuable lessons, as well as have his family intact, right? And I shared those same things about my personal situation with my ex. The marriage didn't work out, but he is forever my family, and we are that unit. And that's a blessing in itself. We definitely want to keep those uplifted who are going through challenges, as well as those who are facing, battling, dealing with, and also those who have lost loved ones due to COVID-19.
Our prayers are with you. We do pray that these vaccines do exactly what they were designed to do. So we are praying for healing. But most importantly, we know where our help comes from. Next Friday is Christmas, and Jesus is the reason for the season. And we never want to, you know, take our eyes off of that and understand what, you know, Christmas is all about. For he is the greatest gift. I'm wishing each and every one of you a Merry Christmas, happy holidays, be it a happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, or whatever you celebrate. May your spiritual, your emotional, your mental, your financial, all of these things come into alignment with the God that we serve. I pray that 2021 will bring you whatever your heart's desire. But look at 2020 and find the joys and the blessings that even during a pandemic and even during the most challenging of times, there were many blessings that occurred. So don't overlook those. Take those into the new year of 2021. Remember that the precious moments that you sat around the table with your family and you played games and you had dinner together, the family walks, the family talks, even the hugs and the support and the prayers that you probably had to give one another when you lost a loved one. And even through that divorce journey, there were lessons to be learned, lessons you can apply to your next relationship, but most importantly, your own healing. In addition to that, whatever you went through in 2020 that was a challenge and you were blessed to overcome it, share that wisdom, those gifts with someone else and encourage them, because that's what I learned most of 2020. Learning to be still, being still even when we may not have wanted to or liked it. It allowed us to be still enough to learn those lessons to help us improve, and most importantly, to allow us and help us trust God more. And for some of us, we met him for the very first time. And if you got that in 2020, then you are on your way. Thank you guys for taking the time to listen to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I appreciate you. I look forward to coming back to the mic with a special guest in 2021. May God bless you and keep you. Until the next podcast, God bless.